Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, that's our commitment today. Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. As for me and my house, we will serve you. As for me and my house, we will spend our lives on you. And we will make that decision and that choice today. Folks, this is Don Crist, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. Welcome once again to the Good News Christian Ministries. If you wish to contact us, our mailing address is, again, the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. I'll repeat that near the end of the broadcast. Again, we want to welcome you to this message today. This is the series on revivals, and this is part 3. This is entitled, If My People. Now, our key verse in each one of these messages is found in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, where God says, return to me, and I will return to you. Someone said, revival is God stepping into his relationship with you and filling it with his presence and power in a fresh way. I like that. God is stepping into his relationship with you and filling it with his presence and his power in a fresh way. When God steps in, he is looking for me. I love that too. He's looking for me, not only to talk to him and listen to him, but just to connect with him. Yes, revival is God stepping into the relationship with each one of us. Now, so far we've looked at Gilgal. That was message number 1. That's home base, that place where we go to meet with God, where we remember our relationship with God. We remember our salvation that we have with the Lord. We remember all that he's done for us. It's a place where we renounce the worldly issues and things that are in our lives, those things we know we need to get rid of. It's a place where we are restored to fellowship with God, restored to live the life that we need to live for God. It's a place where we are renewed or refreshed in the power of the Lord. The second message, which we looked at last week, was called Mizpah. Now, that's that place where, yes, we go to meet with God, but that's that place where we do business with God. We draw that circle. Remember I said that? We draw that circle and we step in that circle and we say, it's me, O Lord, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. It's that place where we embrace the 3 C's, commitment, confession, and consecration. Oh, yes. And now today, this message is entitled, If My People. And this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it's a passage of scripture we often hear. This is at the time of the dedication of the temple for Solomon. And God appears to Solomon and he really gives him a heads up. He says, listen, all's going well. Look at this temple. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. All built to the honor and the glory of God. But God says to Solomon, you need to listen to this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Yes, that's point number 1. God speaks, and he says, if my people, who are called by my name. So the question right now is, would you consider yourself to be God's people? Would you consider yourself as someone that's called by his name? And of course, we're looking today at the cross and we continue to look at revivals and we continue to look and ask that question. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I a Christian? And am I one by definition, one who takes a stand on the issues of life? If God says, if my people who are called by my name, can I answer? He's speaking to me. That's me. Yes, we're looking at revivals today, and we're focusing on prayer. Again, he says, if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray. Isn't it interesting that often we need to humble ourselves in order to focus on prayer? The year was 1857. There was a 46-year-old man by the name of Jeremiah Lanthier. He lived in New York City. Jeremiah loved the Lord tremendously, but he didn't feel that he could do much for the Lord until he began to feel a burden for the lost, and he accepted an invitation from his church to be an inner-city missionary. So in July of 1857, he started walking up and down the streets of New York, passing out tracts and talking to people about Jesus, but he wasn't having any success. Then God laid it on his heart to focus on prayer. So he printed a bunch of tracts and he passed them out to everyone, everywhere he met. He invited anyone and everyone to meet him at the Old North Dutch Reformed Church on Fulton Street in New York City from 12 to 1 on Wednesday. And the purpose was to pray. Can you imagine that? Well, he passed out hundreds and hundreds of flyers. He put posters up everywhere. Wednesday finally came. Noon hour finally came, but no one showed up. So there was Jeremiah on his knees praying. For 30 minutes, he prayed by himself when finally five other people walked in. Now listen to the story, folks. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. Jeremiah humbled himself and he prayed. The next week, 20 people showed up. The next week, 40 people showed up. And then they decided to meet every day from 12 to 1 in New York City for prayer. Before long, even a few ministers started to show up. That's kind of interesting. They came in late. Before long, a few ministers started to show up, and they said, we need to start this prayer ministry in our churches. Did you know that within 6 months, there were over 5,000 prayer groups meeting every day from 12 to 1 in New York City? Soon the word spread all over the country. Prayer meetings were started in Detroit, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and so many other cities. As a matter of fact, history tells us that President Franklin Pierce started going almost every day to a noonday prayer meeting. Oh, yes, by 1859, listen to this, some 15,000 cities in America were having downtown prayer meetings every day at noon from 12 to 1, and thousands upon thousands of people were brought to Christ through this prayer ministry. The great thing about this revival is that there wasn't a single famous preacher associated with it. I guess I'm one of those preachers, but you know, not famous, but just one of those preachers. But it was a lay movement indeed. Oh, God speaks and says, if my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray. That, in other words, he's saying, if you come back to me, I'll come back to you and watch what will happen. Second point, which was really our part. Well, the text says, if my people who are called by my name will do four things, God will do three things. The four things we need to do is humble ourselves, pray, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. You know, you don't take a course in being humble. That's a prayer we should always pray, ask God for, but never thank God for. You might want to think about that statement for a moment. Always be asking God for humility. We should never thank him for it, otherwise there's something wrong. We need to focus on prayer, but also we need to seek the face of the Lord. We do that through his word. We do that through his promises. And at the same time, we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to turn from our offensive ways, those things that are in our lives that offend the Lord. You know, as I look at the church in North America today, someone wrote this, and I've tweaked it a little with some of my words. It's a picture of church people who need to be revived. Look into your church right now. Look into your own heart right now and see, are you on this list? Here are seven things I want to mention. A picture of a church or a people of God who need to be revived. Number one, these people have lost their first love. It doesn't mean they don't love the Lord, but they've lost that new love, that fresh love, that passionate love. They've lost their first love. Some of you are encountering that in your marriages. Well, it's the same in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've lost our first love. Secondly, these people don't meditate daily on God's Word. God's Word, the Bible, has become more of a recipe book. Think about that. It's almost like the Yellow Pages. When we need help, we quickly go to it. Thirdly, these people only pray 9/11 prayers. They only pray when, and they make promises when they get into trouble. Lord, if you do this and get me out of this, I'm yours. Sure. Fourthly, these people don't take sin seriously. You know, you look at our world around us, you wonder what happened. I'll tell you what happened. We stopped taking sin seriously. we became Canadian. You know, you go to the dictionary, you look up the word tolerant, you'll find the word Canadian there. You know, we just don't take sin seriously anymore. Fifthly, we tolerate bad theology, and we therefore embrace and tolerate immoral behavior. Everybody's truth's their own truth. No one's wrong anymore about anything. Number six, these people are too comfortable with their own history and tradition and good name. How many of us in our churches, we focus on the history of our church, the traditions that we have in the church, and the good name of the church? Is that what God asked us to do? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways? And number seven, these people have stopped depending on God and God's word. As a matter of fact, when you look closer at some of these churches, we see that the church constitution has replaced the Bible, and these people have become far too comfortable. Far too comfortable. As a matter of fact, here's a prayer for one of these people. I don't know who wrote this, but it caught my attention. Listen to it. Dear Lord, please leave me alone. Just let me sit here in my pew. And Lord, please guard my seat. Lord, you know that it's my seat. Please don't let anyone else sit in it. Please get me out of here quickly when the service ends before these church fanatics try to recruit me to do something. Oh, God, help them to accept me and understand that I am happy just the way I am. I'm happy just to show up each Sunday. Well, Lord, until next week, nice talking to you. Amen. Isn't that an interesting prayer? That's a picture of a lethargic, apathetic, and, well, pathetic Christianette who is only there to listen to sermonettes as they're in church that particular day. Our part is to humble ourselves and pray and to seek his face and to turn from our wicked ways. Zechariah 1:3 again says, if we return to him, he will return to us. We need to do our part. And then we see God's part. I said it before. God says, you do these four things, and I'll do three. What are the three things he promised to do? Listen to it. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. You know, in a world where we remain nameless, no one notices us, isn't it wonderful to know that there's a God in heaven who will hear your prayer? He will hear the pulse, the heartbeat that you have from moment to moment. He hears you. He hears you. He listens. And he forgives your sin. And he has promised to heal your land. Hey, wait a minute. This is conditional. That's if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Notice, if we do those four things, he says, then I will hear. I will hear you. I will listen to your prayers. I will forgive, and I will heal. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe in prayer? Do you pray like you believe in prayer? Do you pray like you believe God is listening? I love this story. This is a story that comes from the past. The woman's name is Mary Ann Adelard. Okay, here's the story. Dwight L. Moody, famous evangelist from Chicago, similar to Billy Graham, his kind of statue, he went on a vacation to England. He wasn't planning on doing any preaching. He was on a sabbatical. He just needed time out. And then he met a preacher, and the preacher said to him, oh, Mr. Moody, you're so well known. Would you come to my church and speak on Sunday? Well, he agreed to do so. So he went and he preached that Sunday. In the afternoon, Moody wrote in his personal journey that this was the deadest church crowd he'd ever seen, and that the only thing worse than preaching to those people that morning was that he'd promised to go back that night and to preach again. And this is right in his journal. And then he went back that night, and he got about halfway through his sermon, and then something happened. The people started to come to life, and he felt compelled to ask them if there were anyone who would like to become a Christian to stand up, and everybody in the congregation stood up. Wow. And then he looked and he said, there's something wrong. And he said to the people, obviously I haven't communicated properly. If you're serious about giving your life to Christ and committing your life to Christ and confessing your sins to Christ and becoming a new person in Christ, then when this church service ends, meet the pastor and myself in the lower hall. Well, it seemed like there were more people who showed up. He couldn't believe it. And then he said, all right, if you're serious about this commitment, because he really didn't believe that what was happening, he said, tomorrow night, whoever's really serious about this commitment, you come tomorrow night. You come tomorrow night and we'll see what God will do with you. Well, the next night, there were twice as many people who came. It was incredible. They couldn't believe it. Folks, that's called revival. You see, those people needed to get back to home base. They needed to get back to Gilgal. They needed to draw that circle and step inside. They knew they needed the Lord. They needed to say, it's me, Lord. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to get back to Mizpah. They realized that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, they needed to do that. They knew that. Revival broke out. He preached for 10 straight nights, and hundreds of people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The real part of the story that impresses me, however, is this. And we found this out later. There was an 80-plus-year-old woman, an invalid widow named Mary Ann Adelard. She had actually read one of the sermons in the newspaper of D.L. Moody in her church. And for months, every day, she prayed every hour that God would bring D.L. Moody to her church from America. And then exactly what she prayed about happened. He came, and the revival broke out. Mary Ann Adelard had humbled herself, and she had prayed. God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer, and he healed the people in that church. Folks, this is incredible. I want to now close with a story about what I believe to be a great prayer revival of the one I mentioned earlier about 1857. Remember Jeremiah started that noon hour prayer meeting and how just so many thousands of people, there are 15,000 prayer groups going. Well, here's the end of that story. That prayer movement moved from New York to Detroit to Buffalo to Washington and also to Philadelphia, and it was powerful. One of the leaders in the Philadelphia movement was a young man by the name of Dudley Ting. Dudley Ting. He started a noonday prayer meeting at the YMCA. Now listen to this. And some 5,000 people came every day at noon hour to pray in Philadelphia. Did you hear that? 5,000 people. One day Dudley stood up before the people and he read from Exodus chapter 10 verse 11. And this is what he said. And he said, I need to give you this message. I'm prepared to even lose my right arm or even my life if I were not to give you this message. This message is from the Lord. Exodus 10, verse 11. And it says, go now and serve the Lord. Go now and serve the Lord. You see, it's not just about praying. It's about praying and then being motivated and then being activated to go and to serve the Lord. Well, later that week, Dudley went out into the country to see some friends. And while in the barn at his friend's place, he got his arm caught in a corn threshing machine, and the main artery in his arm was severed. They took him to placed him in bed and tried to save his life, but he had lost too much blood. His friends gathered around him, and they asked what they could do and what he would like them to say to people about what has happened. And just before he died, he said, tell them to stand up for Jesus. Notice he could have said, tell them to pray, but that was understood. But he said, tell them to stand up for Jesus. So the next Sunday, his good friend George Duffield stood up at church, and he preached in memory of his friend. And this is what he said. I just finished writing a poem in honor of Dudley, and I want to read it to you. Here's the poem. You recognize it as to be one of the great hymns of the church. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Oh, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Wow. Did you know all across America, city after city, more than 15,000 cities, every day at noon hour would arrive for prayer, and then they would stand up before they left and they would sing, stand up for Jesus. God said, "You return to me, and I'll return to you." Lord, how can we return to you? If my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Well, Lord, that's getting pretty personal. Yes, it is, isn't it? Because to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, means we're in a personal relationship with Jesus. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive you of your sins. And folks, the Lord says, and I will heal your land. That word heal in the original language means salvation. It means the healing balm of Gilead. I will heal you. Now, would you take a moment and pray with me? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a powerful verse as they were building that temple and ready to dedicate it to the honor and the glory of God. And as Solomon was ready and he was, I'm sure, so excited, then you stopped and you spoke to him and you said, "You tell your people and you tell my people, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers in this temple and I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their land." Father, we realize that you're speaking to us today in that way. And Lord, we want to just respond to you right now and say, Lord, we want to just serve you. We want to commit our lives to you. We want to confess to you. We need to consecrate ourselves before you. That's what Mizpah was all about. We thank you today, Father, that we're privileged to be called your people. And Father, today, I just pray that each one of us would recommit ourselves to you even now. And for those who don't know you, that they would make that all-important decision to say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life and change my life? Forgive me of my sins. Turn me around. That's called repentance. Turn me around so that I can start living for you and start serving you and start bringing honor and glory to your name so that I can stand up for Jesus. Lord, thank you for the promise that you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, once again, thank you for your prayer support and your consistent financial support. Each week I like to try to tell it like it is, both in the message that God gives me and in my reporting and updating to where we are in this ministry financially. This program is a faith ministry, so we need your prayer and your financial support. This radio ministry costs just under about $700 for this half hour of airtime and the production of it in producing this message. I receive no salary or honorarium for doing this. This is a privilege and a labor of love. So what am I asking you to do? Simply this. I'm asking you to stop, think, and pray. Stop, think, and pray about what God would have you do. I pray that he will inspire you to write a check to support this ministry. I'm not going to apologize for that. I pray that's what will happen. I pray that you would be a regular and a consistent supporter of this radio ministry. Now let me encourage you and challenge you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries. Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG 1WO. Let me say it again. Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And we will send you a receipt at income tax time. And now, again, a very important announcement for Saturday. Mark your calendars. Saturday, September the 24th, 7 p.m. Where? This is at Bethany Baptist Church. Okay, Saturday, September the 24th, 7 p.m. This will be an evening of giving thanks to God for his faithfulness to this radio ministry. And it'll also be a time of giving thanks for Dr. Alan Churchill. You know, his vision for this ministry, his faithfulness for this radio ministry, his tenacity, his teaching, his preaching. It's been incredible. We just want to honor him. We really need to honor him that evening. Saturday, September 24th, 7 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church. That's found at 382 Center Point Drive, Nepean. That's at Baseline, just a few blocks west of Woodruff. We're going to look forward to seeing you there that evening. There'll be music and testimonies and sharing, and we're excited about it. Now, Let me also mention that if you'd like to get in touch and share some comments, you can email me at doncrisp@hotmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing about what God's doing in your life. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this program each Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and on CFRA, that's 580 a.m., or on Rogers Cable, 927, or still online at CFRA.com, or during the week, or just go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on broadcast. And now, folks, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found in it. Oh, Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Yes, we pray this in Jesus' name. And now we're going to hear from Brian Dorkinson singing, Hear from Heaven. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. And may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, truth, and love. May God bless you. Amen.
We are your people, called by your name. We humble ourselves and pray. We are your people, called by your name. We humble ourselves and pray. We turn from our sin and come to seek your face. Hear from heaven and forgive our wicked. I know you'll hear from heaven.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.